T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
.409 here at CCO. Thanks so much for joining us. We've got a lot to get into yet today. Big win at the barn for the Golden Gopher women's team. All of a sudden, they're on a major roll. 97-67. They've won 6 in a row in conference play, and they have a tough one at Maryland coming up this week. But they have really turned it around. Great story there. We'll get into that in more detail at about 4:35 with Andy Greeter of the Pioneer Press. Daytona 500 continues right now. Pole sitter William Byron in the legendary 24 car is running up front right now. We'll keep an eye on that. PGA Tour playing at Riviera. But right now, let's go outdoors. Steve Carney joins us. Steve Carney outdoors. Steve-o, how you been?
I've been great, Steve. Boy, is it an adventure out on the ice right now. It is a fun one. It's kind of like we're out in four-wheel drive pickups yesterday on Three Lakes in central Minnesota, and it's kind of like snowmobiling. It's boy, the snow's probably right up to the bumper, and right now you can get around with a four-wheel drive truck, but any more snow, and it's not going to happen. It's just about, you know, at the point where you can't do it, so got around pretty well yesterday, and you get up into northern Minnesota, northwestern Minnesota, don't even think about it. There's a lot more snow up there. But in central Minnesota here, Five County Metro, you can still pull it off so far.
Yeah, and it looks like we got more snow on the way.
Yeah, and I think one more dose of snow and we're going to start getting some issues with slush. I'm starting to see that starting already, and if we get some warmer temperatures with more snow, there will be slush issues, and a lot of people are taking their wheelhouses off. A lot of the hard houses are coming off, and the activity on the lakes now is really, really slowed down. I think everybody's just very cautious and obviously don't want to be stuck out there. So I'm just telling people, take it easy. Make sure you got a wingman with you that's got a four-wheel drive so you can pull each other out. Otherwise, it's a snowmobile affair, basically. Four-wheelers are pretty much out of luck. So it's really weird, Steve. We haven't had snow for 5 years, and all of a sudden we're just getting hammered, and it's really affecting, you know, getting around and getting where you want to go, and it's kind of a dilemma we haven't had to face for quite a while.
Yeah, now it really goes quick. The season is winding down.
And I'm glad. I am glad. I am kind of getting to the end of my ice fishing thing, which, you know, typically happens. I'm, you know, drilling holes, and, you know, and yesterday when you had to hole hop and move around, that's quite an adventure because you're in snow, you know, up to your knees, and it, you know, you're not able to really drill as many holes or get around on the ice like we could, you know, a month ago. So I'm happy things are kind of winding down. The walleye season will end here at the end of this month, and right now we got all kinds of changes coming here for the spring 2019 all over the state.
Yeah, and those regs are changing.
You know, it's changing everywhere, and I think there's going to be more to come. Mille Lacs especially is the big story. They're talking about allowing fish to be kept. I haven't heard exactly what that number is going to be, but, you know, I've been following this Mille Lacs thing for a long time, and I really don't listen to the bureaucrats, what they think about it. I talk to the locals that live there, the guides, the people that have cabins there. And walleye fishing has really held up for quite a long time, even though we're being told the walleye fishery has collapsed. So all of a sudden we got an about face here, and now it's okay to take fish. So it's another neurotic chapter in the history of, you know, bureaucracy in the state of Minnesota. But I'm guessing it's going to probably be 2 fish we'll be able to keep. That's not official yet, but that's good news for the people up in Mille Lacs, the business owners up there. That'll bring a lot more people up there, and 2 fish, I think, is very reasonable. Plus, you got the great smallmouth fishery that has now become, as well as northern pike. So I think that's a really good compromise, and it's should have been done a long time ago, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and the regs are a moving target, really, on bodies of water all over the state. Lake of the Woods, Leech Lake. I mean, this is always something that anglers need to really keep an eye on.
Yeah, Leech is now going to open up things a little bit. Now we've got something, you know, completely different. Leech is going to open it up to four fish with one over 20, which I think, looking in my crystal ball, the changes throughout the state of Minnesota are eventually going to probably come around to that statewide, four fish, one over 20. But Leech is opening it up. That's good. Their walleye situation is in good shape. Lake of the Woods, there's been such an incredible harvest up there the last couple of winters. There's been so much pressure that they're going to cut back the sauger limit now. It's going to be two less sauger. You can take your four walleyes, but instead of four sauger, you're going to get two, which is very reasonable, very doable. And really one of the bigger changes is the Rainy River in the spring, which opens up late March, early April, which is probably the best large walleye fishing you're ever going to find in North America. That's been changed to catch and release, which I think is a good move. There's a lot of spawning fish in there, a lot of walleyes with females with eggs that should be released, and I think that's a good move. Another one, Big Stone Traverse, there will no longer be a closed season out there. That's a really big deal. Instead of having the border opener, there won't be a border opener. It's going to be open all season, which is good because that fishery, both of those bodies of water can handle the pressure. The walleye count out there in both bodies of water there are excellent. It doesn't get the pressure out there that some of the more well-known areas in northern Minnesota do. So it's really changing, Steve, all over the place, and I see a lot more changes coming. Some good, some not so good. You just have to kind of go with it.
Yeah, for sure. And, Steve, I know there's something near and dear to your heart coming up on February 23rd. Tell us a little more.
Yeah, Steve, Saturday there's a big deal going down in Jordan, Minnesota. It's the Hunt Fish of a Lifetime Banquet. It's a fundraiser. It's very similar to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, but it's more into the hunting and fishing category. And this is a banquet that's raising money to provide hunting and fishing trips for children with, you know, life-threatening diseases and terminal, I mean, you name it. And this is quite an event. It's going to be at the Ridges at Sand Creek. It's that golf course down in Jordan. It's going to be coming this Saturday, and it's a great cause. Renee Walden is the founder of this group, and anybody who's interested wants to go down there, just Google Hunt Fish of a Lifetime Minnesota. It'll tell you everything you need to know, and I'm going to put up a guide trip down there, and they're going to auction that off live to see if I can take a couple anglers out, and we can raise some money for the foundation, and a good cause, and Insurance Brokers of Minnesota is funding that. So a lot of people involved in this. So if you're down in the Southern Metro and you're looking for something on Saturday night, that's a great cause.
All right, good stuff. Steve, where are you going to be in the coming week, or hard to tell?
Well, I'm starting to jettison my ice fishing equipment. That's number one. I'm going to start phasing out of that. I'm actually putting line on my reels already for open water fishing. So kind of do the transition this week, and I have to do it. I have to do it for my sanity. So I'm going to start doing that and then start thinking about open water. But we'll see. We'll see how the week goes.
All right, Steve, always good, and I know we're getting into that mode where you're already counting down the days to when you can hit the Missouri River in South Dakota.
I know. I think it's going to be late, Steve.
Yeah, I bet.
My heart. I think it's going to be late just the way the extended forecast looks. So instead of getting out there early, I think it's going to be late.
All right, Steve. Visit with you in a week.
Take care, Steve-o.
All right, there he is, Steve Kearney. Steve Kearney Outdoors. By the way, our outdoors coverage continues Monday night between 7 and 8. Live Outdoors with Ron Shera and Mike Max here on the CCO. Coming up in a moment, Golden Gopher women's hockey coach Brad Frost talks about the sweep over Minnesota State. As the regular season winds down, they have a trip to Bemidji, and then it's on to the WCHA playoffs. Brad Frost, Gopher women's hockey, in a moment. It is 4:20 here at CCO. Wild in trouble. Down to the Blues 4-0 early in the third period in St. Paul. St. Louis has just been on fire as of late, and it's been a struggle for the Wild. We'll talk more about that when it goes final. Big one at the barn today. Minnesota women's basketball, a huge win over Penn State, 97-67. They've won six in a row, and they'll be on the road at Maryland on Thursday as the regular season winds down. Golden Gopher women's hockey ranked number one. They were able to get the sweep over Minnesota State at Ritter Arena, and head coach Brad Frost joins us on the line. And Brad, congrats and another great weekend.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was a great weekend. We were able to honor our eight seniors on senior weekend, and nice to come away with a couple wins.
Yeah, no doubt. Hard-fought win on Saturday for sure. The Mavs really brought it.
They really did. You know, they're having one of the best years in their program's history, and they're an extremely tough opponent. Their goaltender Abigail Levy is one of the best in the league, and they made it very difficult for us yesterday, but it was fun to come back from 2-1 down with about 10 minutes left to win it in overtime.
Yeah, and one of your stars, so to speak, one of the top players on your team, got the equalizer late in the game, and it's always good to see when those great players step up.
No doubt. You know, Sarah Potomac is one of the top players in the country. She was one of the last cuts last year for the Canadian Olympic team, and so she wasn't with us last year. She's been injured for a large part of this season, but she's getting back into form, and that was a big goal for us to tie it up.
And how huge is that to have her playing at a high level? I mean, that's got to give you a really good feeling.
No doubt, you know, especially as we're getting down to it, which, again, the days drag on a little bit and the years fly by, and here we are about to, with one more series up at Bemidji State and then on to the playoffs. So the season is coming to an end here in the next little bit, and it's always nice to have your big guns firing.
Yeah, and Brad, we've talked about it over the years. You know, senior day festivities, they are tough because you realize how quick it goes, and every senior I've ever talked to, it's like it just was a blink. I remember I was coming in as a freshman, and now it's almost over.
Yeah, it is funny how that happens, and the older I get, the more I understand it. And we actually just had our senior banquet here this afternoon, and we allow each of our seniors to get up and speak to the team and to the crowd. And in all their speeches, it was, you know, you freshmen, you think it's going to go by slowly, but it goes by in the blink of an eye, and to enjoy every moment and understand how special it is to be a Golden Gopher.
Yeah, and, you know, for the seniors and the leadership year in and year out, you know, your program, great students, great people, and you know, they're really the leaders year in and year out, and I'm sure you lean on the seniors to provide that leadership.
No doubt, and, you know, I heard Don Lucia say a number of years ago that you generally go as your seniors go, and that's certainly been the case for us throughout the years when our seniors are engaged and leading our team and a big part of our culture. We tend to just have wonderful seasons, and so we do lean on them quite a bit, and we expect a lot out of them, and the majority of the time they come through when we need them most.
A road trip to Bemidji, and then it looks like you'll be home for a while. If everything goes according to plan, your next trip would be to Connecticut. Do you look at it that way, or are you just worried about Bemidji?
Yeah, honestly, haven't thought a lot about it. You know, we have two more games up at Bemidji. We're 2 points back from Wisconsin. They play Ohio State, who's a very formidable team, but so is Bemidji State. And so it's important for us to focus on trying to get two wins up there and seeing if Ohio State can't steal one from Wisconsin for the league title. But regardless of whether that happens or not, we know we'll be back at home the following weekend to start the playoffs.
I know you're focused on the business at hand and what happens with Minnesota hockey, but give us a feel. We all know about Wisconsin and the two great series, the one earlier in the year in Madison, and then the one here at Ritter where the team split. So very close, very even. What about the teams out east, Brad? Who stands out as being a threat to be at that Frozen Four?
Yeah, it's a great question. There's, you know, Boston College probably has maybe the most talented team out east. They've struggled a little bit, but they have three Olympians from the U.S. team back and are right around number seven or so in the pairwise right now. Northeastern I believe, just lost today to Providence for their fifth or sixth loss on the season. And they're right now in the number three spot. Clarkson, of course, who's won the last two national championships, are in the number five spot. And Princeton and Cornell are right there as well. So we haven't played any of those teams, so it's hard to speak about them. But those teams are really having a lot of success out east. And some of them have to get to the Frozen Four, and hopefully we're one of those teams that gets to meet up with them.
Now, does your schedule allow to watch some of those games or watch tape, or do you worry about that later?
Yeah, we worry about it later. Obviously, yeah. The women's hockey world is still very small, so we know a number of those players and coaches out there and how they tend to play. But it's more scoreboard watching than anything else on a day like today.
All right, Brad, and then I know you have kids who play hockey, and trying to find that balance is important, and that season's going quickly as well.
It really is. I'm actually heading out the door here momentarily to head to my one of my son's games, and it's been a great time here in the Cottage Grove Hockey Association for our boys. And you know, it's about having fun, enjoying the days, and they certainly go by fast, so we want to make sure that we're enjoying it as much as possible.
Now, do you talk hockey a lot at home, or do you let their coaches coach and you just go there as dad and watch?
Yeah, generally I let the coaches coach, and I do help out with my youngest son's team, and I'm just a door opener. I'm the assistant coach.
Oh, that's right.
and so, just enjoy that. Both my boys that play are goalies, so. Obviously there's not a lot of communication during the games, but just want them to have a good time and to remember their hockey experiences fondly.
How about that, Brad? Two goalies. Wow. How'd that work out?
It's a great question. I get it asked all the time, but I tend to be somebody who doesn't get too rattled or overly uptight. And they had always been asking to be goalies and said no, for many years. And then over the last 3 years, I've allowed them to do it, and they love it, so it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. The gear gets expensive. I have a nephew that's a goalie. I had a brother who was a goalie, and I feel for goalie parents. That's for sure.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's a little different thing. One of the nice things in Cottage Grove is the association provides the equipment for goalies up until through Bantams, but now my oldest is going to be playing some high school hockey next year, so I guess we better open the wallet to find some pads.
Yeah, figure out the financing on that stuff. Oh, Brad, always great to visit with you. Continued success, and hopefully we can visit down the road again.
I look forward to it, Steve. Thanks.
All right, there he is, Brad Frost, Golden Gopher women's hockey coach, and they had a big weekend. Tough series, though, with Minnesota State. That's a program on the rise. They won the opener 3-1 before prevailing in overtime 3-2 at Bemidji State next weekend. Then it's on to the WCHA playoffs, and you know they're going to be in the mix, ranked number one going in. They trail Wisconsin in the WCHA standing. A little bit later on, we'll talk more college hockey with Nate Wells of The Athletic. We'll talk about the men's big sweep at Columbus against number two Ohio State. It has been a roller coaster ride for Bob Motzko. And by the way, Bob was on the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Maxie. You can go online, WCCORadio.com. You can hear all the interviews. Derek Falvey, of course, Twins VP, talked about the moves that were made this week, signing Max Kepler and Jorge Polanco. It's all available online on demand at WCCORadio.com. 4:29, we'll have the weather in a moment. Four 34 here at CCO. The Wild down 4-0 to the Blues in the third. We'll have more on that one when that goes final. And good news over at the barn. Minnesota Golden Gopher women's team blows out Penn State 97-67. They've won six in a row in conference play. What a turnaround from earlier in the Big Ten season. And now they go on the road. Now they'll find out how good they are at Maryland later in the week. We're pleased to be joined by Andy Greeter, who covers Golden Gopher hoops for the Pioneer Press and online at TwinCities.com. Andy covers the Loons as well. He's a busy man. Andy, always a pleasure. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Steve?
Yeah, good. What a turnaround for Lindsey Whalen and the Golden Gopher women's team. This is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they lost 7 out of 8, through kind of the end of January, and it looked like, you know, what was started out as a 12-0 start to the season and Big Ten play and a national ranking was kind of completely undone. It looked like the season was kind of dead at that point, but you know, they were able to kind of bounce back and they went to a smaller lineup and have been able to string together a bunch of wins here. And the formula that they've been able to do that with is getting out of transition.
Andy, I want to. We're getting a ton of wind noise. Should give you a call back. What do you think?
I'm just trying to get to my car here.
So. Oh, I got you.
Yeah, I'm just walking from the barn to my car, so I apologize.
Oh no, no.
I expected a bunch of wind there, but yeah, it'll just be a couple more seconds here, and we can get there and chat with you. So, is it better now?
Yeah. Oh yeah, a lot better. I just wanted to jump in because the wind noise was getting really tough. No, no big deal. I appreciate the call today. But, this is, and one of the things we've talked about in the past, Lindsey Whalen, you know, probably took a look at it. She doesn't like to lose. That's not her track record throughout her playing career. Now as a head coach at Minnesota, and they made changes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they went to a smaller lineup, and with that, they were able to get out and transition more. And when they're able to get out and transition, they're 7-1 when they have an advantage in fast break points, and they scored 17 fast break points before Penn State even got on the board in that category, and kind of that kind of fueled the blowout here today.
Man, 97-67, and as I said at the top, we're going to find out Thursday at Maryland. That's the toughest stop in the league.
Yeah, for sure. I know that they lost here today to Iowa, so they kind of share the Big Ten lead with the Hawkeyes. But yeah, they're a top 10 team. And they've been the class of the conference. So, yeah, going on the road to win there is going to be difficult. And it doesn't get any easier after that either. They got Rutgers, who's a top 25 team on the road. And then they come back a week after that and have another top 25 team in Michigan State. So I think the fact is that they're going to have to win a couple of these games and maybe have some luck and some work to be done in the Big Ten tournament. And then they can maybe think about the NCAA tournament.
All right, let's talk about some of the players who've really made it work. You can look at the box score today and some pretty impressive numbers coming out of this game today, Andy. Who key player or two in this turnaround lately?
Well, I mean, Kenesha Bell is by far their best player. And, you know, it was a scary moment 2 minutes into the game. She rolled her right ankle pretty badly and couldn't put any weight on it.
Ooh.
The Gophers aren't a deep team to begin with, and you lose your best player like that, who has to pretty much be carried off into the locker room. You're thinking, okay, they might not have her the rest of the night, but she was able to kind of tighten up her ankle braces and her shoes and came back and wasn't affected by it overall and had 17 points and 7 assists and is just such a great slasher and pushes the pace so well that it just fuels other things for other players. Destiny Pitts has been huge for them as well. She led the way here today with 22 points and a bunch of threes. And Irene Garrido Perez, she's also been key. She had a career high, I think, 16 points here today. So, you know, they get a lot of balance too. I mean, this team, when they're clicking, they have all 5 starters in double figures.
Gophers win 97-67, the final today over Penn State at the barn, once again at Maryland. Let's jump over to the men. They had to beat Indiana after the brutal loss at Nebraska. Let's maybe start with that night in Lincoln. Richard Pitino wasn't happy, didn't get fined, didn't get in trouble with the Big Ten. It was a terrible call on Amir Coffey. I think everyone would agree. But to put yourself in that spot against a team who had lost 7 in a row probably wasn't a good look to begin with. That was just all the way around a bad night in Lincoln.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you are complaining about calls at the end of the game, I think you need to look back at the previous 39 minutes and how the Gophers led a team, a reeling Cornhuskers team that had lost 7 straight, to get back in the game. They had an 11-point lead in the first half and squandered that and allowed a Cornhuskers team that was down their second leading scorer to shoot over 50%, which is something that they haven't done in a long time. So the Gophers' defense has been lagging behind its offense and kind of dragging down the season to a larger degree, and that's what you saw in Lincoln to kind of set up the fact that they were able to give that game away, maybe with the help of the officials in a one-point loss.
Yeah, and then turn the page, must win over Indiana, and they left no doubt. They dominated the Hoosiers Saturday.
Yeah, Pitino said that he wanted his players to play angry, to kind of channel the kind of resentment maybe that they had over how things went at Nebraska midweek, and they certainly came out and were firing on all cylinders against the Hoosiers team that pretty much rolled over for a large point of that game. But taking care of business against a Hoosiers team that has now lost 10 out of 11 was very, very necessary for this Gophers team because they got the Wolverines coming up here on Thursday. So, yeah, I mean, I think they also played very well defensively. I mean, their best player, the Hoosiers' best player, is Romeo Langford, who's a potential NBA lottery pick, and Amir Coffey had some lights-out defense on him. And in a kind of a head-scratching way, Archie Miller didn't go to Romeo Langford very much, didn't run a lot of sets or screens or put the ball in his hands very much, which was kind of perplexing. But when he did, Amir Coffey was there to shut him down.
Yeah, and just a sidebar, Indiana, what is going on there? Archie Miller had a good run at Dayton, seems to be as a good coach as his brother Sean's out at Arizona. They're having a tough year for other reasons, scandal-related. But, Archie Miller is good track record. I'm sure in some way already he's on the hot seat at Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, Indiana, you know, had the kind of legendary run of Bob Knight, and
yep.
I think that's something that a lot of people remember, obviously. So, yeah, I mean, it's his second year, so I think he's got a little bit more leash leg room to work with. But yeah, it's really disappointing, especially when you have a talented guy like Romeo Langford that a lot of people are very, very high on.
Yeah.
He doesn't get the ball very much. That's perplexing. And just the level of competitiveness that they didn't show. And Archie was very, very critical of his team and just looked at this as kind of a bottoming out almost.
Yeah, and they're not all his guys. And at some point, he'll get an opportunity to sink or swim with his recruits. Back to Minnesota right now. As you pointed out, big game at the Barn against Michigan on Thursday night. And there's really two huge games at the Barn looming against ranked opponents. Michigan here on Thursday night, and then Purdue on a Tuesday night, March 5th. They get one of those and are able to get a couple on the road here in the remaining five. They should be in good shape.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that, you know, they've struggled at times, and people are so high on the Big Ten that even after the loss to Nebraska, people still had them in the tournament. Now, they were coming in as, you know, an 11 or 12 seed, so they'd been taken down a peg, but they were still in the tournament. So, yeah, if they're able to spring an upset maybe against Michigan or against Purdue, and then we maybe, you know, take care of business on the road in some of these other games, then they can, you know, still be in the tournament if they're able to maybe win a game or two in the Big Ten tournament. So, yeah, there's a lot still to play for this Gopher team, even though at times they've been pretty Jekyll and Hyde and you're not quite sure what you're going to get on a given night.
Yeah, Rutgers, Northwestern, and then Maryland. And that one at the end of the regular season is going to be a huge challenge in College Park. But, you know, there are opportunities. You know, 3-2 gets them to 500 and then ultimately to the 20-win plateau. And I would think they'd be pretty safe even if they had a clunker in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, I think so. And like I said, I mean, people are so high on the Big Ten this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
That if you come in with a record that's around 500 in what people believe is the best conference in the country, I think that'll be enough to get in.
Yeah. Andy, a couple other things I want to get to if you have a moment. I know you're super busy with Golden Gopher Hoops, the men and the women right now. But Minnesota United FC have made the move from training in Arizona to Florida. That's a good gig if you can get it.
I know, right? So, yeah, I mean, it's a long preseason.
Yeah, it is.
It'd be pretty stuffy to just be in the indoor facility in Blaine.
Yeah, for sure.
They go down to Arizona and they go down to Florida and meet up with other MLS teams for different friendlies. And yesterday they beat New England 1-0. And I think one theme here this preseason is they haven't given up many goals at all and none in, I think, the last three games against MLS MLS-level competition. And as you know, Steve, that's a far cry from what they were doing in the first 2 years of regular season play in MLS. So, yeah, they've added a fair amount of new players, and those players have gelled at the start, and they've put together a bunch of clean sheets. So it's only preseason, but it's an encouraging sign nonetheless.
Yeah, and what about this keeper they brought in? Tell us a little bit about that. Is this a major move? Help us understand.
Yeah, so Vito Minone is a 30-year-old keeper from Italy who's been playing in England, both in the English Premier League, which is regarded as the best league in the world, as well as the Championship, which is their second division. He's played for teams like Arsenal, who's one of the most world-recognized clubs. And he was, at Reading FC, which is a lower-level team in what's called the Championship. And they're bringing him in on a more expensive contract. So that kind of shows you kind of the expectation that they have for him. But, in the soccer world, he's only coming in on a one-year loan. So if things don't go well for Minnesota, which they haven't done in previous loan deals, they're 0-for-6 on letting loans expire and the player going back to their original team. They'd love for the opportunity that Vito has here to have him be successful and then potentially talk about making the move permanent to Minnesota. But, yeah, they've been looking for upgrades at goaltender all offseason and had some fits and starts with some other options not working out. This is their new guy in net, and Bobby Shuttleworth, who's started two-thirds or so of the games in their first 2 years as the backup and a reliable veteran option as the number two goalkeeper going forward.
Now, I was asleep at the wheel. I joined the Preserve, that waiting list, to see how it works, to try to get tickets because there's interest in my family to get into Allianz Field. So I didn't buy season tickets. Silly me. So I joined the Preserve. And then I got this email that you can buy tickets, or you could buy tickets, for matches 2 through 8. Well, that's presale started at 10. I had meetings and other stuff at my other gig. Okay. Yeah. Got to it around noon, no tickets available. So ticket demand is high.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have a season ticket base of, I think, 14,500 for a stadium that's going to seat 19,500. It's been very difficult to get tickets. I know when they put out single-game tickets, it was a very similar experience to what you had, where, it was like a hot, concert ticket where it's gone in a couple of minutes and you got to be very trigger happy right when it clicks to 10 a.m. or whatever the stipulations are. So yeah, they've got a tremendous demand and we'll be filling that stadium. It looks like every game here this year.
Oh, and I'll tell you what, driving by the Midway, and I know Andy, you've kind of been around the club for a long time and been on the tours and that sort of thing. That's going to be a fun experience this summer. I mean, that's going to be wild.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Charlie Walters had a note about the head groundskeeper for Allianz Field was working at Hazeltine and was part of the Ryder Cup. So you can kind of dream a little bit. He had a note in today's paper about that, and it's kind of nice to be able to dream about what it's going to be nice on Kentucky bluegrass on a nice summer day, sitting outside watching 90 minutes of soccer. So yeah, it's going to be a great experience, and I think everyone's really looking forward to it, especially in the dog days of winter.
And it's going to be another great venue in a town filled with great venues. We talk about their previous home in MLS, TCF Bank Stadium, how great that is. The X, they've upgraded Target Center. Target Field's one of the great experiences in the major leagues. U.S. Bank Stadium is widely regarded as a great NFL venue. I mean, we're pretty spoiled in these parts.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you got, classic venues like the Barn where, just its own kind of own entity where it's not, new and fancy, but it's got old and a lot of character and history to it. So yeah, absolutely. I think that we, like you said, I think we're spoiled to have all of these great venues and great events from the Super Bowl to the Final Four coming up. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of environment is going to be inside Allianz Field. I mean, the Wonderwall, the supporters will be in the south end, and they've got a 34-degree pitch on their incline behind the south goal. I think that's going to be very intimidating for other teams to come in and play. And And if they're able to tighten up the defense, that can be a place that's very difficult for other teams to come in and win at.
Well, Andy, always great. Thanks for the time. I know it's been a busy weekend. Get some rest.
Yeah, we'll do. And sorry about the wind.
No, big deal.
Be that way. So, yeah, it ducked into the pavilion. So, yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, Steve.
Yeah, always great, Andy. Thanks. There he is, Andy Greeter of the Pioneer Press. Good enough to join us here on News Talk 830 WCCO. But a big day at the barn, two big days at the barn. Minnesota blows out Indiana in the men's game on Saturday, and then Penn State today in the women's game. So good feelings over there. And we have a couple other Golden Gopher notes here for you about the softball team. They closed out the St. Pete Clearwater Elite Invitational with a 4-0 shutout victory over Cal. They're on their way home now. They split the weekend 2-2 and improved to 4-3 overall. Meanwhile, Golden Gopher baseball, they are down in Surprise, Arizona. Minnesota fell to New Mexico 11-1. The Gophers are now 1-1, and they play again today down in AZ. 4:51. It's over in St. Paul. The Wild get thumped by the Blues 4-0. Now, St. Louis has been on fire as of late. No team's been hotter in the NHL. The Wild are a 180. It's been a nightmare since coming out of the break. And now you got to wonder what the path is forward. We'll talk Wild. And if you have a thought, what do the Wild do now? Would you clean house? Is the coach on the hot seat? If you got a thought, text 81807, 81807. You can call 651-989-9226. Wild lose 4-0 to the Blues. What do the Wild do? What does Paul Fenton, the general manager, what should the owner, Craig Leopold, do? Sell, sell, sell before the trade deadline and try and reinvent this thing. Because what's going on right now is not good. Six minutes now in front of 5, all the news and weather at 5. Timberwolves week in review. Josh Okogie, 13 in the Rising Stars game on Friday night in Charlotte, but the world got beat by Team USA. Karl-Anthony Towns tonight for Team LeBron James in the NBA All-Star game. And we'll hear a little bit from Kat coming up during Timberwolves week in review. It was a good week. They had two wins over the LA Clippers and the Houston Rockets, and they returned to play coming out of the break on Friday night in New York. Then they'll visit the Bucks in Milwaukee on Saturday night, and you'll hear them both here on CCO. It is 5 minutes in front of 5 o'clock, and it's just gone final over in St. Paul, and the terrible run for the Wild continues. They got blown out today 4-0, really never competitive. Now, the Blues, in fairness, coming in, were absolutely on fire. Nine and one in their last 10. Meanwhile, the Wild continue to cling to the final spot with 60 points. Dallas, the number one wild card at 63. Minnesota was 60. Here's the only good news for the Wild right now. Here's the only good news. The teams behind them, Vancouver, Arizona, Colorado, Chicago, Edmonton, Anaheim, and then the bottom feeder, the LA Kings, show no signs of coming to life. The only team that's been on a bit of a roll to get back into the mix or the edge of the mix is Chicago. So even as bad as the Wild have been, they're still kind of hanging on for this final wild card spot. Now, they're clearly losing sight of the teams ahead of them in the division. Once again, Dallas ahead of them. Winnipeg and Nashville have, for all practical purposes, run away and hidden, and barring a disaster, will be in the playoffs. Once again, the Blues are on a major roll and just come in and demolish the Wild today. And the prospects for the Wild aren't great going forward. They get a Ducks team that they should beat here on Tuesday night. Last time the Ducks were in town, Anaheim, they were terrible. They were on a double-digit winless streak. They had gotten some games to overtime and got points. and they got shut out 3-0. Then they go to New York to play the Rangers Thursday, and on a Friday night, they play Detroit. Now, the Red Wings aren't very good, but the Red Wings came in here and beat the Wild earlier this season. So there's no easy games, no gimmies for the Wild right now. And Alex Stalock, not much help today as Minnesota gets beat by St. Louis, the final 4-0 in St. Paul. And I would not be surprised if you see more moves. There was a lot made about Nino Niederreiter, who's playing well in Carolina now. But I would not be surprised if there aren't more moves on the way. All right, quick update. Leaderboard at Riviera. The Genesis Open, they've been fighting rain. Now they're finally on the back nine. Justin Thomas is leading at 15 under. J.B. Holmes at 14 under par. We got to go. News and weather in a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.